All right, thank you for the introduction. And again, I'm Sarah Berger from the University of Florida. As everyone in this room is aware, Palmer amaranth is a major problem in cotton in the Southeast. And even with a good management program or herbicide program, there's a high probability that you're gonna have a few plants left in the field due to resistance, just the sheer number of seed. And once you have these plants become established, they have a rapid growth rate, so they become a problem very quickly. The yield loss associated with Palmer amaranth competition has been well documented, anywhere from 10 to 85% depending on Palmer density. And most of these studies attribute this yield loss to competition for light. However, we thought that on the sandy soils of the Southeast, specifically Florida, with the 7 to 10 days of no rainfall followed by a couple days of rain as our usual weather pattern, we feel like competition for water is definitely one of the driving factors in Palmer amaranth competition. So to examine this hypothesis, we did a preliminary study in 2011 looking at the impact Palmer had on soil moisture and on cotton transpiration. So these are the results from the preliminary study. To set this figure up, on the x-axis we have days after planting cotton. The Palmer was planted on the same day, established from seed. And then on the y-axis, on the positive portion here, we have the Palmer amaranth height at these different times throughout the growing season. And on the negative portion of the y-axis, we have the depth at which there was a difference in soil relative water content between a control weed-free plot and a plot with one Palmer amaranth plant. So as you can see, as we progressed through this season, as the Palmer plants got bigger, up to 4.5, 5, greater than 6 foot tall, we found differences in soil relative water content up to 1 meter or 3 feet in depth. And then to look at the effect on stomatal conductance of the cotton, we measured this with the leaf pyrometer and found as percent control up from 0 to 6 feet away, we had a significant reduction in cotton stomatal conductance, which is giving us information about cotton transpiration. And then by 8 feet away, the cotton had recovered. So from the preliminary study, we found that a 5 to 6 foot tall Palmer, which again can happen relatively early in the growing season, is having an impact on soil relative water content at least 3 feet in depth. And again, that's the furthest, that's the deepest we can measure with this equipment, and up to 5 or 6 feet away. In 2011, we had lower than average rainfall, and all these rainfall figures I'll show. The red line is the 30-year average, and then the blue line is that location's rainfall on a month-per-month basis. So in 2011, for this preliminary study, we had the rainfall periods that I talked about earlier. We'd have 7 to 10 days of no rain, followed by a significant rainfall that recharged the soil water profile. So the objective for the current study was to determine the impact of a single Palmer amaranth plant on cotton physiology, and again, specifically during these mild to moderate drought situations that we typically see in Florida, just 7 to 10 days with no rainfall. And to evaluate this, we looked at three different parameters: soil relative water content to tell us if there's an impact on soil, on the water in the soil; cotton photosynthesis and stomatal conductance to tell us if there's an impact on the cotton plants themselves; and finally to look at water flow through the cotton plants. And our hypothesis was that under drought stress, one Palmer plant is going to have an impact on cotton at least 3 feet away and an impact on soil moisture to at least 3 feet in depth. Getting into the methods, we located this in Citra, down in Florida in 2012 and 2013, and then up in Tifton as well this year. Just two treatments, a weed-free control, and then plots with one Palmer amaranth plant. The Palmer was established from seed again and thinned to one plant per plot 7 to 10 days after planting. Completely randomized design, 4 reps. So again, looked at soil moisture, photosynthesis, stomatal conductance weekly, and then measured sap flow for 2 to 3 weeks consistently throughout the season. And data was analyzed in JUMP. So to get into these methods, for soil water content, we used a system from Dynamax. And that works by you install some fiberglass access tubes at the time of planting, and then whenever you'd like to measure your soil water content throughout the season, you just pop the cap off the access tube, insert your soil moisture meter, and you get soil relative water content readings at different depths down the meter. So we're getting a nice description of the soil water profile up to 1 meter in depth. And we looked at soil water content about once a week throughout the season. This is just a picture of installing those access tubes. And then this is what our plots looked like. So as you can see, these are both Palmer plots. We have the one Palmer here, like one leaf cotton. And we located these soil tubes both in the row and in the row middle to see if there are differences. And for the row middle plot, we located them at 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 feet away from Palmer. And then for the in-row plot, there is also one here at 0 feet, and then up to 10 feet away, again at 2 foot increments. So the soil moisture is going to give us an idea of what's happening in the soil as a function of the Palmer amaranth. And then to look at the effect it's having on cotton, we looked at photosynthesis and stomatal conductance of that cotton. To do that, we used a LICOR, measured individual cotton leaves at the same locations as those soil moisture tubes, so at 0 to 10 feet in 2 foot increments. And again, these were measured one time throughout the season, one time a week throughout the season. The final method we used was using a sap flow system. These are, again, a Dynamax product, and you install these collars, which there's a pair of thermocouples in the collars that determine how much water is actually moving through the stem instantaneously, and then it's recorded by a data logger. We had left this system up for 3 weeks in Citra this year, and then for 2 weeks up in Tifton. And the setup was a little different here. We're limited by the amount of collars we can use per data logger, so we weren't able to have as many stations for the sap flow as we did for soil moisture and photosynthesis. If these dark green circles are indicating cotton, and then we have the Palmer here, so we had control collars, which are not pictured here, and then we had a collar on the Palmer plant, a collar on a cotton plant 1 foot away, and a collar on the cotton plant 3 foot away. Installing these collars is a pretty involved process. You have to get a pretty tight fit on the plant here, and then there are several layers of insulation that you need to put on. These thermocouples read a heat signature, and you need lots of insulation around those collars so that you're not getting a heat signature from the soil or any other part of the environment. This is a picture of a Palmer plant with a you can see the insulation down here, again, just so that we're not getting a signature from any other part of the environment. Each collar feeds to a cable up to a data logger. We had two systems complexed together, as seen here, and then the data is downloaded weekly. So getting into the results, if you'll remember, we set this up as a drought study. 2012 in Citra, had a couple nice tropical storms. 2013, same thing. So we thought surely in Tifton we'll get some dryness, and it had more rain than the other locations. So what started as a drought study kind of morphed into something else. So looking at soil moisture, we got different results in the preliminary study as to be expected due to the excess rainfall we had. The only location that there was a significant trend was in Citra in 2013. And as before, where we had differences up to a meter in depth, we only had a trend at 10 and 20 centimeters in depth this year. And it was a linear trend with soil relative water content increasing out to 4 feet as you got away from the Palmer amaranth plant. And again, only at 20 centimeters in depth. So in a situation where we do have adequate rainfall, we're not seeing a huge difference in soil relative water content due to Palmer. For cotton photosynthesis and stomatal conductance, we saw no trend, which could be expected with adequate soil water content. There's no differences in transpiration, so the cotton was not really under a drought stress at any point during these seasons. However, for photosynthesis of the cotton, we did see a significant trend in 2013. And again, that was a linear trend. As we got in distance away from the Palmer, you can see photosynthesis increase as percent control. So we have distance away from the Palmer up to 10 feet on the x-axis, and then cotton photosynthesis as percent control on the y-axis. And again, you can see as we moved out from the Palmer, there's a significant positive trend. Getting into the sap flow data, this is, I think, where the interesting part of this comes in. Physiologists like us to present sap flow data on a leaf area basis, with the idea being that plants with a large leaf area, more leaves, have a greater transpiration pull than a plant with fewer leaves. So when we normalize this for leaf area, on the y-axis we have grams of water moved in that stem per centimeter squared leaf area per day. And this is averaged over the 3 weeks that we had the system installed. On the x-axis, we have our different treatments. So the left three bars here are our cotton plants, with the 1 foot away from the palmer, 3 foot away from the palmer, and the control. And then the furthest right bar is the palmer amaranth. So you can see that there was less water moving in that cotton stem at the 1 foot away cotton. But as we moved out to 3 foot, there was no difference between that cotton plant and the control. The interesting part of this is palmer is using 3 times more water than cotton per unit leaf area. And then I think agronomically, what's more interesting about this is looking at it on a whole plant basis. So this is not normalized for leaf area, but the same trend happens. 1 foot away cotton is using less water, is moving less water than 3 foot cotton. And again, palmer is using almost 2 liters of water per day, as opposed to cotton, which is using less than 1 liter. So all of that's interesting information, but the take-home point is yield. So what is this? How is this going to affect yield? And again, we found a significant linear increase when all three years and locations were combined. And for every foot up to 10 feet away that the cotton plant was located away from the palmer, we saw an increase in yield by 1.5 grams. That's on a per plant basis. And that trend is shown here. Again, distance from the palmer, and then percent of control. And that's a pretty significant upward trend. So in conclusion, what did all of this tell us? With the adequate rainfall that we had, soil moisture profile was not affected by the presence of palmer amaranth. And this is goes along with some a paper out of Kansas, I believe, in 2009 that looked at palmer amaranth competition in corn. And they found that light was the only factor in competition between palmer amaranth and corn. However, the cotton yield and photosynthesis did increase as your distance from palmer increased. And I think for future research, the most interesting point is that palmer is using 2 to 3 times more water on a plant-by-plant basis than the cotton is. So that water has to come from somewhere. And when you're in a drought situation, we feel that that could have a significant influence on the cotton water use. And that is all. I don't have any time for any questions.
Questions for our speaker?
Yes. If you were showing the water was basically affecting it out to 3 feet, you show yield out to 10 feet, what do you attribute that yield response to between that 3 and the 10
feet
beyond that area?
The question is, what would the yield response be attributed to if there's no differences in water? We didn't take any light measurements in this study because in a drought situation we expected it to be water. With this information, we can't say it's not light. It very well could be when there's sufficient water, but I think the focus of this was more in a drought situation, how much worse is palmer going to make your cotton field? Any more questions?
Let's thank our speaker.